Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Murder Board Podcast, the anthology podcast of fictional mystery horror stories told episodically. I am your narrator, Walter Williams III. These stories and characters are fictionalized and based on my life and the people in it. Tonight, we'll be starting with episode 1 of season 1, Friends on the Other Side. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy. Episode 1, The Town That Dreaded Sundown. It's October 1st, 2019. The fall season is in full swing. The high winds blowing crinkling dead leaves up into the air and down the empty streets of Antioch, Tennessee. It's about 6 in the afternoon and the sunset is just about to begin, just as a silver Mustang glides into town. Enter Chris. He hasn't been on the road long coming from Memphis. The car radio matching the smoothness of the fading blue sky into orange above. Reaching the edge of town, he's in need of gas. Fortunately for him, he dawns on a small old-fashioned gas station. The neon sign for the gas station reads, Goddard's Gas Station, 24 hours. He slows down, pulls in, and gets out the car to make his way inside. Upon opening the door, he's taken aback. Looks a lot smaller from the outside, he says to himself. That's because it's empty, says a sudden voice from the left side of him. Chris turns, seeing a young male, well, actually about the same age as himself, but just way skinnier. Sorry, didn't mean to scare you, says the gas station employee. Chris takes a moment to look at his name tag, hanging lopsided on the right side of his oversized and oddly very clean white collar shirt. It's all right, Shelton? Shelton nods and sits back, revealing he's reading a book titled Tales from the Gas Station, Volume 3. Chris turns and continues down the long narrow aisle, equivalent to a hotel hallway in shape. He grabs a bag of hot Cheetos, a Cherry Coke, and a pack of gum. Chris makes his way to the counter, sliding everything towards Shelton to get his attention. Shelton takes a second, then puts the book down and scans everything. Oh, and 20 on 3, please. Chris says while handing him his bank card. Shelton gives him the side eye, types on the computer, swipes, and sends Chris on his way. Chris walks outside, but before he walks out, notices a newspaper. Headline reading, Town Curfew, Challenged by Town Youth, City Hall Refuses. He continues to his car and throws his snacks in and pumps his gas. Meanwhile, Shelton watches from the window. He sees Chris open the trunk and just look into it. He then closes it, drives off. Shelton takes a deep breath and continues to his post and his book. Chris officially drives into town and is surprised on how early everything is closed down, or at least in the middle of locking up. Jesus, you think the Purge is about to go down, he snarks to himself. He passes by an old, broken-down movie theater, a Target store, a weird tattoo shop, and a creepy gift store with a large skeleton painted on the front of it. Next to it is a cemetery, and a little ways down, coming across some fairgrounds, where it looks like they're setting up for the Halloween season. This made him smile a bit. Last but not least, he is at his destination, an average-sized motel. He parks and heads into the front office, but stops and takes a moment. He looks down the road and sees a well-lit hospital. Behind it is an autumn sunset making everything turn natural and deep orange. Chris resumes walking into the front office where waiting for him is a rather large man, yet more cheerful than Shelton, the gas station employee. Instead of a clean white shirt, he wears a gray suit jacket and a navy blue button-up underneath. On the right side of his lapel, on the jacket, is a LA Rams helmet pin. This made Chris smile as he walked up to the front counter. The motel employee notices Chris from the corner of his eye, drawing him away from his watching of a movie on a small screen TV hanging just above the desk. The Bride of Frankenstein, 1935. The motel employee turns and smiles. Welcome to the Alfred Motel. I'm Colin, and how may I assist you tonight? He says, oddly exciting and out of breath for some reason. Hi, I'm just wanting to check in. Hopefully I'm not too late. Chris says, trying not to match Colin's weird energy. All right, just give me your last name and I can get you checked in. Colin responds while booting up the outdated computer on his left. Ross. First name Chris. Colin nods and types for about 20 seconds. Yep, there you are. Chris exhales in relief as Colin swipes his bank card. Next, he reaches behind him on a large panel of key racks. He grabs the one in the middle. Here you go. Cabin 1408. It's on the left side, so you should be right in the center, actually. You'll be able to see the parking lot and the pool. Chris smiles and takes the key. Thanks, Colin, he says. No problem, Chris. Colin responds, adding a very goofy chuckle at the end. Chris turns and quickly tries to walk out, but Colin stops him. Would you like help with your bags? It's important to stay extra safe around this time of year. Chris turns back and sees Colin making his eyebrows raise up and down. Nah, I'm good, thanks. Chris says, continuing out the glass door, but something catches his eye. It's a wooden display holding tons of visitor brochures for events and parks for tourists. He sees the brochure for the tattoo gift shop he saw earlier on the road. The large skeleton. He picks up one stuff again into his back pocket and then tries to head out the door again until Colin stops him. Actually, Colin springs from his desk. Here, let me help you, man. Things get crazy around this time of year, so it's better to be safe, you know? It's now Chris's turn to raise his eyebrows up and down. Colin Speed walks out the door and Chris follows. Together, they unpack the car and get his bags into his room. Thank you, Colin, Chris says to conclude their time together. No problem. I'm just trying to keep a good eye on things. Like I said, things get weird around this time of year. Chris sees Colin is still slightly out of breath. If you don't mind me asking, what makes it so weird? Oh, you know, a history of events have taken place in the past, from a college Halloween party gone wrong to an attack at a trampoline park and the weird cult that formed in the old movie theater before they shut it down. Just weird incidences all over. Weird incidences. So now the town is doubling down on safety and stuff, and I'm 100% for that, man. Chris interrupts. Okay, well, I'm just getting one more bag from the car and then I'm turning in for the night. Got a big day tomorrow. Colin gets the hint pretty quickly. Oh, yeah, totally understand. I'll just head back into the office then. The two say goodnight and Chris goes back into the parking lot. Chris grabs his last bag but is startled by what he sees on his way back to the room. Chris couldn't believe what was standing in front of him just a few feet away. A large wolf with brown and black fur. The wolf just stared at him in the middle of the empty parking lot. The eyes looked like it glowed red. The wolf then tilts its head, then turns and runs into the night. Chris shakes off the experience and locks himself in the motel room. The room consists of one bed, a large desk, small TV, and a small bathroom and closet conveniently close together. Chris only unpacks one bag though, the biggest one. He pulls out a large whiteboard and the stand for it. After assembling it, he grabs a backpack and takes out files and plastic bags filled with pictures, newspaper cutouts, online printed pictures, and dry erase markers. He begins taping things to the board, marking things and making notes. Once finished, he steps back and looks at it in full. He then takes out his phone and calls a number. The phone rings. The voicemail comes through. Chris speaks. "This is Agent Ross. I'm in town, all set up. See you in the morning." Chris hangs up and sits on the bed. Later that night, back at the gas station, Shelton is restocking bottles of soda while on FaceTime. "Wait, so Savannah, what else did he say?" Savannah replies, "That was it. He just leaned over and all he said was, 'I'll do anything to keep you safe. I'll protect you. You know that, right?' Then kissed me on my forehead and rolls back over and goes back to sleep." Shelton laughs and ends up dropping one of the bottles. "What are you doing?" "Restocking. You? I'm waiting for Mike to bring my food." "Must be a slow night at the hospital, huh?" "Yeah. So have you talked to MRA?" No. "Y'all need to make up already." "It's just a disagreement. She's just been moody all of a sudden." "Yeah, but you did tell her she'd see a doctor." "Well, I mean, I didn't mean it like that, and it's still a valid suggestion. Anyway, have you talked to Walter?" "No, not in a while. He's been calling, though." Suddenly, the gas station door opens. "Oh, crap. Customer, I'll call you back." "Alrighty." Shelton stands up after hanging up the phone and sees a man. He's tall, muscular. He's wearing blue jeans and a flannel shirt that looked a little bit too big. He also has on black gloves and is holding a large axe. A pistol is strapped to his side. Shelton looks him up and down and then lands on his face. Except it's not his face. It's a brown sack covering his face with two large eye holes cut in. Shelton instantly runs for the back counter to get the gun underneath the counter, but he's cut off by the Axeman's first swing. Shelton has to reroute, moving towards the back aisles, tripping over bottles of soda and snacks. The Axeman swings again, knocking over all kinds of other stuff. Shelton hits the back wall where the beer is and finds himself ducking quickly from the Axeman's third swing, glass shattering everywhere. Shelton runs to the front door, but this time, he didn't really make it. A gunshot is fired. The glass shatters the door and Shelton falls through. The Axeman had fired his gun, but puts it back on his side. Shelton, now wounded, crawls through the broken glass, yelling swears. The Axeman walks up and pulls him by his leg, Shelton's body being dragged across shards of glass. He swings Shelton towards the front desk. Shelton tries to crawl, but is unable to. The Axeman swings again, and this time hitting Shelton on the right leg. The Axeman chops over and over and over. Shelton doing nothing but screaming and crying. The Axeman chops the leg completely off and then takes a step back. The Axeman raises the axe one more time and begins to walk closer, although this time Shelton fires a shotgun at the Axeman, but he misses by an inch. Surprised, the Axeman immediately runs out of the broken glass door and disappears into the foggy night. Shelton lays on the floor of the gas station, bleeding, crying, looking at his severed leg through the blood and tears. That's all for tonight's episode. I hope you enjoyed. Tune in next time for episode 2, Graveyard Shift. If you like the podcast, please give it a like, leave a comment for open discussion, and share with friends and family. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the other side.